From the Love We're Finding studios in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm Byron Tyler, here with Carrie Vaughn, the CEO of Love We're Finding. Carrie, today Adrian Rogers looks at the generation to come and the America of tomorrow.
Byron, what a great topic. And I was thinking the other day, what will America be like in the days and years ahead? And more importantly, what is my role today to impact that going forward?
Yeah, and you know, we can always look in the past oftentimes to make sure we don't repeat some of the same mistakes. So important, and especially as we look at the history of our country, not to forget that we do have a spiritual heritage too. 29 of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence graduated from schools offering Christian ministry training.
So there's a spiritual undertone in the fabric of who we are, but over time, we have just straight away.
Carrie, did you know that John Hancock, we know he signed that famous Declaration of Independence with some other men, but he served as the president of the Second Continental Congress and was the first and third governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. 22 times Hancock called Massachusetts to prayer and fasting. Every business had to be closed. And you know what the prayer concern was? That they prayed that everyone who didn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior would come to do so. That was their concern.
Well, and I think a lot of times back in the early days, we see that core group of founders and leaders really had a heart for God and spiritual things.
Well, we always love hearing from our listeners, and we have one here via Facebook that says, I thank God for Dr. Rogers and the LWF ministry. When at the end of my rope, Dr. Rogers spoke some powerful words and encouragement to my heart and gave me the strength to carry on in spite of the chaos.
I think that's what we need. I think many times we need a word of encouragement. We need to leave people better than we found them, right? And that may be a prayer, that may be scripture, but sometimes it's just being a Barnabas to people around us.
Well, you might be listening today feeling the weight of pressure and chaos in your life. We want to remind you about the LWF app. It's available to download, My LWF app, and we've got some special offers there too.
Special offers. You can go from the vault. You can hear vintage Adrian Rogers from 1972. You can listen to the sermons. You can donate. You can look at resources. All that is there. So please take advantage of the new app.
We've got four never-before-broadcast messages from Adrian Rogers, timeless truths for troubled times. Check it out. That app again is My LWF app. When we question, is it too late for America? Have we gone too far away from God's will? Here's Adrian Rogers with this very wise perspective.
We must disabuse ourselves of the idea that it is too late with God. Even had the Amorites, when their iniquity was full, turned to God in repentance and faith, he would have forgiven. And the Bible says that God is merciful. And here's the point, and I want all who listen to learn this. God had rather forgive than judge. God does not hold grudges, but he is a righteous God. He will forgive, and we must seek his face and not throw up our hands and say it's too late.
Boy, that's good. God rather forgive than judge. It reminds me of the thief on the cross. In the 11th hour, in the final moments, he says, you are the Christ. And Byron, I believe maybe Jesus praying for those who were crucifying him or yelling insults at him was the turning point for the thief, that he was able to hear Jesus ask God to forgive them for they didn't know what they were doing, basically, right? And so the forgiveness there in the last hour, the last inning, is available to anybody.
God, a God of mercy. Well, with today's message, The Generation to Come and the America of Tomorrow, with part one, here's Adrian Rogers.
Find Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Now, if you're new in the faith, the book of Psalms is the middle book in the Bible. And then it's just a matter of counting. If you'll come right over to Psalm 78. I am concerned not only about the America of today, but I am concerned about the America of tomorrow. I am concerned about the generation to come. What we're talking about today is the generation to come and the America of tomorrow. What will America be like 10, 15, 20 years from now if the Almighty tarries? I, for one, had rather leave to our children a legacy of great and godly principles than to leave to them a nation of great wealth to be squandered in a godless society. Now, here's what God's Word says, Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, that is, truths from yesterday that your fathers have known, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their generation. Now, we've seen some things happen today in our generation. We've seen the implosion of Soviet communism. We've seen the Iron Curtain come down. We've seen communism become a relic of the past in most places. But I want to ask you a question. Do you feel more secure today than you did then? Very frankly, I don't. Because when we've gotten rid of the demon of communism, seven more deadly demons have come to America. We are in great danger. Now, the American dream, I am convinced, was placed into the bosom of our founding fathers by Almighty God. America did not just happen. America was the gift of Almighty God. But that American dream is about to become a nightmare. I am wondering about the America of tomorrow. I am wondering about the generation to come. I am thinking not only about my children, but I'm thinking about my grandchildren and my children's children. What legacy are we going to leave? What is the America of tomorrow? Now, God had blessed the nation Israel. God had delivered them from the gnawing and tormenting chains of slavery. And God had brought them into a good land, and God gave them a law. God gave them a land. God gave them a Lord. But what they did was to defile the land, deny the Lord, disobey the law, and judgment came to them. Now, Asaph the psalmist is giving some instruction to a nation like this. And I'm telling you, there is a great parallel and there is ancient truth for today's world. Three things I want to lay on your heart. Number one, we need to review our history. We need to review our history. Look, if you will, in verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. That is, we need to show our children what God has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. What's He saying? Israel, look back. See what God has done. Review your history. Now, this passage of Scripture says a word to all you dads. All right, here's your assignment from Almighty God. You, sir, are to be a teacher of history. You have been appointed by God to be a teacher of history. A little boy came home from school and he looked sad. The father said, son, what's wrong? He said, I'm afraid I failed my history test. The dad said, no, he said, you're thinking negatively. Be more positive. He said, okay, I am positive I failed my history test. Now, I don't want you dads to be positive failures. You are to teach history. Spiritually, it is vitally important that we know our roots. If we don't teach the generation to come, then we've been cut off from our roots. Have you ever thought about the fact that we're only one generation away from paganism? That's all. Just one generation. If we miss a generation, then we're gone. I hear parents say, well, I'm not going to force my views upon my children. I'm going to let my children make up their own mind. I'm going to let them decide for themselves. Frankly, you've got room to rent upstairs unfurnished. No! You need to put something in your children's minds. Listen to me. The world is going to teach them. Their teachers are going to teach them. Their companions are going to teach them. The media is going to teach them. MTV is going to teach them. And you're going to say, I'm just going to sit around and let them make up their minds. The humanist educators have your children, the generation to come, in their minds. Let me quote from one of them. And by the way, lest you think this is some yo-yo from off the wall, this man that I'm going to quote is a professor in educational psychiatry at Harvard University. Now here's what he said. Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of his nation as a separate entity. That, friend, is mental illness. Now again, this is a professor at Harvard speaking. And then here's what he said, and listen to it. This is a direct quote. It is up to you teachers. Now he's talking to educators now. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international child of the future. And you say, well, I'm not going to influence my children. I'm just going to let them make up their own mind. There is a systematic seduction of children today. Now, humanism sounds so good because it sounds so much like humanitarianism, doesn't it? When the name has been disguised to protect the guilty. The truth is, sirs, fathers, God holds you responsible to be a teacher of history. And our fate is to go from father to son to grandson. That's exactly what the Word of God says again. Listen, look in verse 5. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. We are passing off the baton. There is a legacy that is to be left. It is to go from father to son to grandson and on and on and on in a spiritual chain reaction. A child came in and said, Mother, you remember that vase that we used to have? The one that was handed down from generation to generation? Well, this generation just dropped it. And I'm afraid that we have a generation that is in danger of dropping the faith that has gone from generation to generation. Fathers are to teach spiritual and national history. What is the history of America? The revisionists have tried to take it away from us. On July the 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed. And remember that it was a declaration of independence from earthly powers, despotic powers, but it was also a declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. Remember how that declaration began? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator. Underscore that. By their Creator. They believed in creation. You can't even teach creation in public schools today. Endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Right off to begin with. We want our Constitution to be written in the light of this declaration. And notice how the Declaration of Independence closes. Sometimes we don't get to the close of it. But it says, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. What is divine providence? That's just a synonym for Almighty God. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. It was a declaration of independence from Great Britain. It was a declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. Now, in 1778, James Madison, who is the architect of our federal constitution, the fourth president, said this: "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." That's the architect of the Constitution who said that. Now you can't even post the Ten Commandments in classroom walls. On April the 30th, George Washington, in his inaugural address, said this, quote, "My fervent supplications to that almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the council of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect, that his benediction," that means his blessing, "may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States a government instituted by themselves for these essential purposes." What he's saying is, look, we can't do it without God. And then he went on to say, "We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smile of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." George Washington said, without God, it won't be done. In December 1820, Daniel Webster said, and I quote, "Let us not forget the religious character of our origin. Our fathers brought hither their veneration for the Christian religion. They journeyed by its light, labored in its hope. They sought to incorporate and to infuse its influence through all their institutions, civil, political, and literary." They never thought of saying that we don't want God in our government. We don't want God in our education. Not according to Daniel Webster. On July the 4th, 1821, John Quincy Adams said, "The highest glory of this American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principle of Christianity." Now, the revisionists of history don't want you to hear that. Our children are not being taught that in the public schools. Dads, you are to be teachers of history. On July the 8th, 1845, President Andrew Jackson said, "The Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests." That's what he said. Early Americans knew this. March 1931, the United States Congress adopted the Star-Spangled Banner as our national anthem. You know what the fourth stanza says? "Praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto." You finish it. "In God is our trust." That, friend, is our national anthem. In 1952, the Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas said, "We are a religious people, and our institutions presuppose a supreme being." That is built in. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Therefore, in June 1954, Congress adopted the phrase "under God" to be added to the Pledge of Allegiance. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And then in July 1956, by joint resolution, Congress adopted the bill providing that the national motto of the United States is "In God We Trust." In our national hymn, the anthem says, "Bless with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust." And the national hymn, "Our Father's God, to Thee, Author of Liberty, to Thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. protect us by thy might. Listen to this. Great God, our King. Never say America doesn't have a king. We have a president we can vote in and out, but we have a king we can't vote in and can't vote out. Now, we can deny him and turn our back on him if we are foolish enough to do this. Our fathers rightly believed, rightly understood in the separation of church and state, that is, they have no national denomination, but they never believed in the separation of God and government. To the contrary. Now, I'm saying this, that how many of our children today know the things that I've just given? Many of them are abysmally ignorant of these things. And so, fathers, according to this psalm, you ought to teach those things to your children. You say, I don't know how to teach them. Go to our library. Go to our bookstore. There's plenty of material there that you need to take time. Turn off that television. Kids are watching television. They've gone to the computer. You're still watching the television. Your eyes are getting big as coconuts and your brain the size of a pea. Go to the bookstore and learn some things about our history. Listen, not only do we need to teach America's spiritual history, every family needs to write down its own spiritual history. Let me give you a project for families today. Write your family history, your spiritual history. Get the members of that family to write their testimony and put them in a book. And look back and see what God has done for our families. What a blessing it would be to have our own family history so we can teach that. I'll tell you something else. Individuals need to study their history. They need to understand what God has done. When your little children come to Jesus Christ, and they ought to, don't think that a child has to have a PhD in sin before he or she can get saved. It's normal, it's natural for little children to come to Christ when they're raised in a Christian home. Now, when they come to Christ, however, help them to understand their history. Write it down. Rejoice over it. And every year, not only let them have a natural birthday, but a supernatural birthday. Honey, this was the day when you got saved. Let's thank God. Write it in a book. Let that child remember that he has a history. The devil wants to get us away from our heritage. And so I'm saying the first point is we need to review our history. That's what he's saying. Look at it again. The Bible says, and we will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of our Lord and his strength and his wonderful works which he hath done. Not only do we need to review our history, but my brothers and sisters, we need to renew our memory. It is so easy to forget. Why do we do this? Look, if you will, in verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his way and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Now here God is saying, don't forget. Review your history. Renew your memory. Renew your memory. Don't forget how easy it is to forget the blessings of Almighty God.
And it is a struggle at times to remember God's blessings, isn't it? Maybe as you've listened today, you have questions about who Jesus is or about how to have a relationship with him. Go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources there and materials that can answer questions you might have about placing your faith fully in Jesus Christ. Again, go to lwf.org/radio. and click Discover Jesus. Well, today is a good day to review our history as a country, don't you think? Or maybe your history as a family or a church, even your own personal, individual history. Renew your memory today. Don't forget the blessings of God. And tomorrow we'll continue with this powerful message, The Generation to Come and the America of Tomorrow, right here on Love Worth Finding.